Tip.
Good afternoon. It is May 6th, 2024. You're listening to A Little Column A, Little Column B, hosted by Will Lee Mills and co-hosted by Zach Bishop. How are you doing today, buddy?
What is going on, Will? May beginning, always great for sports. Just, there's a little bit of everything. There's fights, you have the derby, basketball, hockey. I watched some motorcycle racing. I even watched a little bit of whatever the spring football was yesterday. I accidentally watched some of the F1 coming out of a nap. You could just watch, there's just so many options. Was there anything that jumped out at you from this weekend? Maybe, you know, not like the main NBA stuff that you said, you know what, this was a bunch of fun. Maybe I got to watch more of this.
WNBA preseason, which I'm shocked.
Oh, right. I didn't even mention that. Yeah.
Which is shockingly only available with WNBA League Pass, which is, I think, $7 or $8 a month without a trial, which is the other weird thing that I recall NBA, like, constantly giving out trials, like, throughout the whole season. So I don't know what missed on that, but we actually had a fan in the stands not too long ago. But I would like to see more of that. That definitely caught my attention. I mean, Caitlin Clark doing step backs is still fun to watch, and it's still basketball. So I guess that caught most of my attention. I mean, the reality is I'm just killing myself watching NBA nonstop. I don't want to reiterate just how annoying it is that Saturday night I'm capable of staying up as late as I need to stay up. And once again, it's the early night. It's the 7 p.m. only on Saturday. And then Monday comes around. It's like, hey, guess what? You're going to be up till 2 a.m. again. It's like, how? Is no one else struggling with this? Is it just me? Like, is the only one who's like, hey, Saturday, we can stay up all night today. This is fine. Tomorrow's Sunday. And then it's like, no.
Well, they gave you a 1 o'clock game 7 on Sunday, so that way you had plenty of time afterwards to plan your whole week. Maybe take a nap, you know, preload for the rest of the week of staying up late.
But I'm glad you were able to branch out. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get into any of those sports because there's just so much NBA playoffs going on right now. We had a couple first round matchups wrap up right now, and we're going into the second round. We had a instant classic game one that we'll get to, but just to get everyone caught up, the Pacers defeated the Bucks in 6 games. This is the second straight season that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to exit in the first round, being a significant favorite seed as well. They did not have Dame. Well, they did have Dame, but then they didn't have Dame. Whatever, Dame was on and off. They did not have Giannis the whole series. They had Middleton for most of the series and still had Lopez. They did fire a coach. They brought in Doc Rivers. The initial review of that does not look really good right now. There isn't a whole lot of positive things to be saying here. Is this simply is as easy to fix as, hey, well, if we just put Giannis out there, we'll be a lot better? Or are they missing the window? Let's start with that. I mean, we're going to be saying that about a lot of teams going forward here, but do you think this team, if they were healthy and come back next year with the coaching staff that they have, is capable of being like a top three seed again in the East again?
I think they are. They were this year, and Giannis was hurt for a chunk of the year. And there's two parts. One is I think that you can kind of write off these playoffs for them is that this isn't some big disaster. I thought the same thing last year. If you don't have your best player, what are you supposed to do? They were the higher seed. It's like, oh, a three versus a six. It's like, well, yeah, but it was 2 games. It was 2 regular season games. These teams were pretty close, so it makes sense. If you take out a perennial MVP favorite and you take out Dame, well, you know, this is bound to happen. But I think you also have to take into account if you sign older players like Dame, this has to be something that you at least you turn the knob up for. The probability that this happens goes up. Just older guys are more likely to get banged up as they get older. Just more and more likely to happen. Those injuries take longer and longer to heal. So I think that has to be part of it. But I think what they really need to focus on is the concern post-hiring Doc that in the regular season, when the guys were healthy, it didn't look like they quite had it together. And maybe it was, hey, we're switching over to a new coach. It was a little bumpy. If everyone had stayed healthy, you're ready for the playoffs and you're good. But I think that is what they really need to review, and they need to figure that part out.
I think this is a bit of a can't miss shot for the Pacers as well. It's just an opportunity right there in front of you being like, oh, we have a chance now. The 2 games thing, whatever, that's fine. This is a team that's won a championship in Milwaukee. So if you're the Indiana, you're like, I think you have to initially come in intimidated, as well as I don't know where you're getting any of your confidence from. This is a very unproven team in Indiana. I'm excited for Pacers-Knicks. That game's going to be tonight. Am I silly for constantly doubting the Pacers over the Knicks here, or is there actually some magic here?
I just, it's two teams, like the teams are just constructed differently, and the Knicks are going to play a ton of defense, and the Pacers, we've just shown that they really don't have a lot of interest in playing defense, and I think that over a 7-game series, that is just going to bite them. I think they can have one game, maybe two games, where one of those, you're just shooting absolutely lights out, but I think the Knicks playing tough, playing defense consistently, and having Brunson, I think that this is going to be over in six or less.
I think there's some depth problems with the Knicks. It's not even talent. It's the players
how
they play.
How could you have depth problems if you just only play your starters 40-plus minutes?
Well, I just think if one of those guys doesn't have it, Thibodeau's really not going to make the adjustment. He's going to leave that guy in there. And I think with the Pacers, while it may not be, you know, top to bottom as talented, I think there's a lot of wild card guys which are going to decide some of these slow scoring games that are just going to be slugfests of defense, and the Pacers can score. So if the Knicks really just slow everything down and they don't score a ton of points, I think even with the miserable defense of Indiana, they're going to put up points with some variety of random players that they have. And maybe if one of those Knicks gets hurt, yeah, just saying that can move the needle. I do think that Indiana is a little bit in an interesting situation, though, where now their season, I feel like, is recovered so much from the in-season tournament where we had higher expectations and then they kind of fizzled out a little bit. Haliburton is still not playing great, but here we are. They're going into the second round. They're going to have a chance. I'm not sure if this team is just getting a lucky draw here with the first round or if there's actually something. But we talked about the Knicks. They were able to beat Philly in six. Philly had Embiid. Philly had Maxey. They had Nick Nurse. Daryl Morey, the GM. They even got a good Buddy Hield game. I'm kind of out of excuses for Philly. Is it just injuries? Is it just constantly taking a loss on moving trades? And I wouldn't be shocked if this team looks so different next year, because I don't think they can run this back. I'm not sure what moves they're going to have between losing guys and trying to add guys. But I think there's a little bit of a reset that's going to happen, which sucks for Embiid's, I think, future right now. And I don't think they have another choice, though. I think they keep trying to patch everything with all the leaks in the boat when the water's coming in. It's like they just can't. They got to just get a new boat. We got to start over from something, because I don't think this is it. And I think as much as everyone always wants to blame the coach, I think this one's going to be on Morey a little bit more. The Harden deal, I know he didn't do anything spectacular in the Clippers, but That for me is a failure more for this team than just the player's health and the coaching and whatever else you want to pick apart. But if you're Philly, I mean, are you worried? Like, is this obviously not a great situation to lose in the first round, but a team like the Knicks, I don't think that was supposed to pass them this year, and they just did.
I think that Embiid was banged up, but that's an again. Embiid was banged up again. I saw a post on one of the Facebook NBA groups that I'm in posting saying, yeah, you know, Embiid, you know, really gutted it out. You know, I really, you know, can't blame him for them, you know, falling out of the playoffs this year. And I said, how many times is that going to be the excuse? And yeah, I mean, maybe you were more right than my response is saying, hey, this is a Morey issue. You got to get the guys around him, and then he'll be able to succeed. I know as a Celtics fan, I'm not scared of Embiid. I'm not scared of the Sixers. Every year. And maybe it's just because we have Al Horford, but yeah, let Embiid score 20 in the first quarter. I know the fourth quarter down the stretch, he's going to fade away. And if he does get the ball, he's going to end up taking a long three, and 1 out of 10 times he'll make it. But the other times, awesome. Now we're getting the rebound. We're going the other way. And this just keeps happening over and over again. And I know a lot of it's injuries, and they're different injuries, and there's been some freak injuries in there. But when this just keeps happening over and over and over again, I mean, sooner or later, you got to look at it. And hopefully he could stay healthy next year. You know, if you're a Sixers fan, you are absolutely right. The team is going to look totally different next year. They're finally getting off that Tobias Harris contract, which, oof, boy, they're paying him a lot of money. They're paying him star money, and he did not show up as a star. I'm going to be very interested to see who signs him next and for how much money. I should say how much less money than he made this year. But pretty much it's Embiid under contract, Paul Reed under contract, and Maxey will get extended. He'll get the rookie extension. That's just going to be it hasn't been pen to paper, but that's for sure happening. And so they're going to have max money. So there's been some initial names getting floated out there. It's really just the big names. I don't know if they'll be able to get, or if LeBron James even wants to go to Philly. I doubt it. But the Paul George, it's just really all of the big name free agents that are just getting thrown out. There's really no substance to these rumors yet. But yeah, this team is going to look a lot different. And I think that I don't know if it is just getting another star. I think that Maxey is rising into that. Okay, he carried the team sometimes when Embiid was having trouble. So I don't know. And this is more a question for you. We did big threes for a while. Those were all the rage. It seems more recently, any of the big threes have kind of fallen apart. These teams are just so top heavy. If one guy gets hurt, you're just in trouble. Do you think the Sixers are better off saying you get a Paul George, even with him being a little bit older, or are you better off getting like overqualified role players, but you're able to get three or four of them rather than one all-star?
I think they keep getting regular season false hope in players. I mean, I hate to constantly pick on Tobias, but there's other guys in this whole team. I mean, I think even Nick Batum had a decent regular season, but the second the playoffs start, they need guys to step up, kind of like how Maxey did. And I think if your additions are going to be like a Zach LaVine, who's never played in the playoffs, you're never going to get over this. You have to get a killer out there. You have to get somebody with a better mindset in the playoffs that's capable of making big shots and interested in taking them. They never have the right guys, whether you want to go as far back as Harden kind of disappearing, Ben Simmons kind of disappearing. And then, you know, I don't want to pick on Tobias again, but how many seasons have you seen him fall short in the playoffs? So there's opportunity, I think, to find someone like that. I just don't know if this team is past the hill. I mean, I talked about Phoenix last week about why would you go there when you could go join Oklahoma City, when you could go join a younger team like Minnesota with so much more potential to last longer, as well as the value that you'll bring to that team being a veteran. I mean, I look at like Kyrie Irving almost reinventing himself. And if Philly had a playoff killer like him, and we've seen Kyrie in the playoffs, all headaches aside, when he's playing like the way he's playing now, it's another level in the playoffs. They just never have that guy. Maxey was incredible, but of course Maxey gets handicapped with Embiid being hurt, and Embiid's been hurt every playoffs, whether it's breaking his thumb or breaking his nose or his face or whatever. It's just one thing after another. He's out there doing everything he can, but I think the guys around him are just false hope from the regular season. I think that's nothing else to say, and the worst thing about all that is you don't really ever get to test this out until this first round. You don't even know some of these guys. Buddy Hield, I don't know what coaching thing he got into, but I don't know why there was games he didn't play, but it sure looked like he could still shoot, and this team desperately needed shooting. I haven't heard the story on that. Where did that come from?
How do you bench a guy, young 30s, like not hurt, that's making close to $20 million? It just, I mean, clearly there was a reason for it, but just it wasn't like this team was really deep and, oh, well, this. It seemed like you got to have all of your firepower. And he was able to show it a little bit in that last game, and just really makes you wonder why he wasn't out there consistently.
We'll never know. I was shocked that there wasn't like a story immediately after, especially losing in the first round, that it was like, all right, turmoil within the Sixers locker room, Buddy Hield and blank. But I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nope.
All right, back to current future business right now. We got Pacers at Knicks tonight. We talked a little bit about both teams. Who are you going with this? How many games?
I'm
which
going
team?
With the Knicks. Like I said, Knicks. I'll go Knicks and six.
I have Knicks and six as well. How many times are we going to see Reggie Miller highlights during the series?
Oh, man.
Like, nonstop, right?
I mean, I got to imagine the series. Like, it's on TNT tonight. It'll be on ESPN later on. So each network is going to have a go at it, especially if there's any sort of meltdown like there was in the Knicks-Sixers series.
I think the Knicks are lucky that they have the closer in this game, because Reggie was kind of the closer back in the day. But if Brunson comes up short, you're going to be seeing Reggie with his hands around his neck, just nonstop.
You know, Spike Lee, I mean, he's still sitting courtside, so they're going to show him, and they'll probably be, remember when, especially if this game or if this series goes deep. You know, the first view, it's just kind of fun. If the Knicks jump up 2-0, maybe not so much. But yeah, I think it's even more interesting with Reggie being an announcer. Like, he could announce one of these games. You could be in the building.
I think it'll be fun. All right, so we walk out Knicks in six. Sorry, Indiana. Maybe we'll take you serious eventually. This is going to be one of those things where stop doubting us at the end of the conference finals. All right, next game. Tonight we'll have Wolves at Denver, which will be game two. But let's get everyone caught up on what happened over the past week, whereas the Nuggets defeated the Lakers in five. Darvin Ham has been excused, dismissed. I forget. There was a weird phrasing with that. It wasn't fired, right? It was something else. But
was it not? Because it was pretty much known as soon as that series was over. It's like, well, Ham's fired. It's just a matter of when that official news comes out. So I don't think I even looked at what the headlines were, because I just knew it was coming. And so when I saw it, I was like, he's gone. I didn't realize there was kind of some finagling of the phrasing.
I want to say it was dismissed, I read on the bottom line, but I could be wrong. And either way, it's just getting cued on, right, you're not here anymore. We're starting with someone else. And we kind of hinted a little bit at the struggles that they've had last week. I thought they really played Denver pretty well. It was just more of Denver finding ways to do Denver things at late in games. It's just out-executing everybody. This is a tough decision. I mean, we talked, the Suns got swept last week, and Ishbia still thinks to think that 26 teams would still want to take those guys. Do you think the Lakers are in a similar situation where they still have LeBron and Anthony Davis? Are there other teams across the league that wish they have these two, or are we just in a new era now where maybe that's not the case?
I think it's only because LeBron James is on the team that there was any expectation in what they did last year to go to the Western Conference Finals, thinking this year, oh yeah, they could just be in a play-in game and then they'll just turn it on for the playoffs. But these teams are in these rankings for a reason. They weren't very good during the year, so I don't know, except for the LeBron James part, why they think all of a sudden there's going to be like this magical turnaround. It happens once in a while. The Heat had their run last year, and the Lakers had their run. But most of the time, the reason that a team is good and in a top seed is because the team is full of better players, and they're a better team, and they're going to go farther in the playoffs. And I just don't really see what is going to change next year. It's going to be LeBron. It's going to be AD. They were pretty much healthy this year. It's got to be some of the players around it. And I think it's almost like a signal of, we're not really sure what we're going to do, so we're just going to get rid of the coach, and hopefully that'll make LeBron happy, and we won't really have to make any player changes, which would actually fix the problem. I don't know what coach you're going to bring in that is different from, better than Frank Vogel, or what Ham was doing to actually make this different.
No, and I think one thing that should be alarming isn't just the games that LeBron and Davis played this year. You know, they were healthy, like you said. It's that I think we all universally said the Lakers had the best offseason, and then Davis and LeBron were healthy and played in the season. So it's like, well, what was real then? The offseason didn't add up. Like, we're all ready to crown them, be like, oh, what a bunch of nice moves, you know, all this. I liked all of the moves they made, and yet it still felt like they kept short. It still felt like they had the weaknesses of whatever Russell was going to be that night. It was just haunting nonstop, and when it wasn't working. When it was working, it was just passable. But I don't think anyone's expecting to make a diet off of that. That Russell is just hot and cold. And I'm not sure what you're going to do with him again this year. I think the idea of paying him last year was that we'll be able to move this guy. And that didn't happen. And I don't know what they're going to do again. So I think we're at a point now where they got a pick between LeBron and Davis. I thought Davis was pretty good this year. And I don't know how you trade LeBron, but I think that's really the move I would be looking at. Is that crazy? I mean, have we reached there?
Well, you don't think that won't happen, because the Lakers have the whole thing to take care of their stars, as well as LeBron has a player option for this upcoming year. So if he got wind that they were going to trade him, then he wouldn't want to go to that team via a trade. He would just go to that team.
Well, maybe he'll do that.
I don't think that Bronny James is going to help this team coming on, so they're going to have to make some other moves.
It's not supposed to be an easy decision. It just, they got the championship. just take it and try and get another one. But I don't think you're gonna get another one with these two. I'm there. I think I've reached it. And they played the Nuggets really well. I think there's definitely a scenario where you know the Nuggets could have blew a couple of those games.
When are we gonna get past that? You know, I think you've mentioned this before. I keep thinking of Fast and Furious, and just you think you had me? You barely had your car. Like every racer knows, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, you lost. Like it doesn't matter. Oh, they played them well. Yeah, there was never a doubt in that series.
Well, I think they might have hinted the formula to guarding or competing with Denver that the Wolves are just running with now. Big guys playing defense, have somebody float on Gordon and take away that lob pass, and he's constantly going to be – Rudy Gobert's constantly going to be there for help on Jokic. It was a hell of a game one between Denver and the Wolves. Anthony
– The Wolves jumped out all over them. What was it, 18-4 to start? And that was a surprise, just that first punch. And then, you know, Denver got their act together and, you know, kind of we were off to the races from there. But, yeah, I was surprised how quickly the Wolves just came out and said, hey, we're not scared of you guys as defending champs. Like, we're here to play. We don't care we're on the road. We don't care about how high up in the sky we are. Like, we're here to play basketball.
I saw some people talking about how Denver keeps getting off to slow starts and that at some point they're going to have to start taking the team they're playing seriously. And I said, well, which one of these slow starts was a problem against the Lakers? Because they were down at every single half in all five games and still managed to win in five. They were down at half in this one and definitely came out slow, like you said, but they were still in it at the end. I think this one they lost because Edwards was able to outclose them. And I mean, sure, Nas is going to hit five threes in the fourth quarter. I love Nas, but like, if you think you're going to count on that and happening again, I mean, good luck. I mean, if you do, you are going to beat Denver. I think other than Edwards going out of his mind and getting the help from Nas like that, I think Denver's fine where they're at. I also think any team at this point in the playoffs is capable of coming back from any halftime deficit. I don't care if it's 30 points. I think if you give any of the teams left an entire half to come back, all of them are capable of doing it. And all of them are capable of blowing it as well, this 30-point lead. So it's like the game doesn't even start for Denver until the second half. And maybe they won't be able to get out-dueled by Edwards at the end. I mean, Edwards is unbelievable. I mean, nobody would have had any solution to how to slow him down that game. You could take any team in the league. It's pretty scary, actually, of how good Edwards actually was. Which is more likely here? Are you switching off the Denver bandwagon here, or are you sticking with the future MVP, I'm imagining, in Jokic?
Do you mean Edwards, future MVP, Edwards?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Or do you mean again Jokic?
Again Jokic.
I guess again. I'm going to stick with Denver. You know, it's never good to lose the first one at home, but I still think that Denver is the better team. They have the pedigree. I think that, you know, they have the coaching staff. I think they're going to make some adjustments, and I think they'll be able to figure this out. Definitely going to sound like a hater, and I don't like it this way with, you know, Anthony Edwards. You know, he's about to, you know, be on Team USA. We need, you know, all hands on deck. But, I mean, amazing game. You know, he's having a great playoffs, but I get that he's young. I get that he's having, you know, some great games to start here, but I think we might be anointing him, like, the greatest player of all time just a little too quick here. You won one playoff series, and then you beat the defending champs in game one. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit here. I think we're getting a little out over our skis.
We'll see. As a Celtics fan, I'll tell you what, that game one had me terrified because I already didn't feel like we had a good matchup against Denver, but I kind of liked the matchup against anyone else. But between what I just saw game one and what he did to them, the end of the game is just, he's just a killer at the end. Also, if he's going to be talking shit, our weak-ass Boston team will be crying by halftime. Like, we'll just... I don't think we can handle it. I think he's way too tough right now, and I'm not going to give up on Denver, but I think this game's going way farther than I expected. I thought Denver was just going to kind of outclass them and really make them look like a young team again. And I don't know. Edwards, like I said last week, he's just becoming more of a finished product than I thought he would ever be this year. Like, he's still going to get better, but he's way closer to that than I ever thought. It's just awesome. It's fun to watch. This could be a great game too.
I think this is early. You know, we'll see how far he takes the team this year, But I think this is the, you're on the ascension and you could do no wrong and everything is awesome. And then it's just a matter of time before we flip on him and say, well, what has he really done? What has he won? No, he's put up these stats, but you know, he hasn't made a finals yet. And then we'll be on the other side. So this is just like on the way up. Everyone's a fan. He's young. No one's picking him apart yet, but I think that is going to switch. It'll take a couple of years, but this is just the fun. He's young and all this going up, but I think we might just be doing too much too fast. I didn't hear a lot of critiques on him, which is fair right now, but it just, anytime you're comparing a guy to Michael Jordan this early on, it's too much. It's too much too fast.
Denver in seven?
Denver in seven.
Denver in seven. All right, we both have.
We only got one game seven in round one, so I'm hoping for some more game sevens in the second round.
Well, we're actually going to talk about that game next because this is the game that got once again placed on the odd hour schedule of Sunday at one, which I know they do Sunday afternoon games, but just seemed a little weird that they only had one game and this had to be an afternoon game, and it was like no conversation about this potentially being a night game either. It's like, no, this game's already been on NBA TV for like all seven games. Let's put it another hour where no one's going to see this. And you know what? It probably does a favor because anyone who did take the time to watch this series was just a headache. It was just a back and forth, unreliable offense against an unreliable defense. I don't know. It's Orlando starts up, what, big 18, maybe has a 20-plus point lead. It seems like they're in control, even on the road. And then it just, like, falls off a cliff. They don't score again. They only end up with 94 points, and Cleveland just kind of edges out at the end here with Mitchell and some decent hot shooting at the end. But I think if your other teams, like we talked about, that are now eliminated from the playoffs, it was like, well, they're too old. And now I'm gonna flip the other way and say Orlando's too young. It's like, well, I can't hit everybody at all this. But if you're Orlando, what are you going into next year thinking? Are we too young? Should we sign some veterans, or should we just keep everyone, bring it back, and we should all be better a year from now, and just stay with this core? I mean, we shouldn't outthink this, right? We should just keep what we got going.
I think so. Franz struggled. I think when Banchero played well, I think I mentioned it before, I think he should be on the Olympic team. I don't know if it'll be Kawhi's spot or Embiid's spot, but I think that he played on the FIBA team, so I think that he knows what to expect. I think he can help the team. And he's super young. He's still on his rookie deal. And game sevens are hard. You don't get a lot of practice. They're totally different. And you're on the road. You're not expected to win. And for them to be up that much, that was definitely a surprise. I didn't see that coming. You would have thought the Cavs, being a little older, would have been more prepared. And it sure looked like they were about to have a nightmare scenario just like last year. But I think they have a good core. You stick with it, and you don't need to do too much too fast, and see how it goes.
Should they fall into the trap of signing somebody? Do they need a Paul George? Should they get aggressive and go after a Durant? Should they be talking to LeBron? Like, I mean, is that the direction that you're going?
LeBron's not leaving LA.
All right, so then they should just keep with everything they have. They should keep the fact that they don't have a lot of shooting right now. They don't really have a point guard. They have like three undersized scoring guards, none of which are as good a passing as they ever hoped for. And Franz, who was just an awesome playmaker last year, is just being left open.
I think that they have some room. They're not over the second apron. They don't have a ton of flexibility, but I think that they could go in. Yes, but that's the thing. It's just so easy. Just like, oh, well, you know, they need some wing length and they need some shooters. Like, yeah, that's what every team needs. That's basketball. But if you can get some more shooting, you should do that. But I think that it's around the edges kind of stuff. I think you could build around Banchero, and I think Franz, you shouldn't base your whole future decision off of one poor game seven.
All right, what about Jonathan Isaac? Because if we end the era in Orlando with this, or are we still holding on? Because I don't know what I want to believe in anymore, but I'm kind of just thinking maybe new area, new system will make him just look a little bit different. Because the hot and cold with him in Orlando is like, I don't know whether they should give him more chances or keep pulling him out of chances. It's a weird – I've never seen a player be this good and this bad and this, like, fluctuated in value in so many NBA minds. it baffles me. I don't know what his future is, but I think if I'm Orlando, I'm trying to pawn this off into someone else. It's too much of a roller coaster for this young of a team that's already going to be up and down. I'm ready to move on from him. Are you there?
I would be fine with that. You know, they've kept him around for a long time, but his contract next year is not fully guaranteed, so it's partial. So I think maybe a younger team, you know, somebody maybe like the Rockets that are willing to take on a little more risk, will say, we'll take him on, see what we have. But yeah, I think Orlando's got to move a little more to the next step of, all right, we're looking to compete, make it to the top four, and we'll have a home playoff series, and a little less on, hey, let's just see, you know, what we have, and let's see if we can hit a lottery ticket here.
Part of me wonders if they should have made a move this year, and it not only would have hopefully helped them in this playoff series they just lost, but maybe they would have gotten more value from some of these guys midseason than they do now, being a early exit to Cleveland, which nobody's really afraid of anyways. Did they really hurt themselves, you think, by not pulling the trigger this year?
Was there a certain move that you that you had in mind?
No, but I just think that they could have. I mean, I don't want to bring up Buddy Hield again because that obviously didn't pan out too well. But I think there was pieces similar to that they probably could have gotten into that they were like, no, we don't want any more veterans. We want to keep the locker room we like. Everyone kind of likes each other, from my understanding, and that definitely makes everything go smoother. But I think they just could have made smaller additions like that and maybe gotten a little bit more trust from some of the guys. And now I don't know which one of the guys they should part with either. That is probably the one reason they didn't make the move. It's like, well, if you want to move this guy, why do you think it's that guy over this guy? You know, I mean, I think we have the obvious, we're not trading Paolo, but I think everyone else is kind of like, well, which one do you want to move on from? There's a lot of different directions for this team to go, but they're super young. I think Boston was constantly picked on for, you know, hey, they didn't win a championship, it's time to break up the Jays. It's like, well, is it? Or are we just still like, is it still a really good chance with a lot of young guys that maybe this will line up at some point? And I don't know. It's
especially
not...
where these guys are so young. Paolo obviously still on his rookie deal. Franz going into next year is still on his rookie deal. So you have cost controlled guys where, like we're just talking about, like, Tobias Harris was making $40 million last year. So once these guys get out of their rookie deals, like, they get a lot more expensive. And then, you know, that's what the Celtics are at now. And we're at a totally different phase than the Magic are at. But you should, you know, you work your way up. You made the playoffs. When was the last time, you know, Orlando made the playoffs? You know, they've got some hope. They got some players going forward. They're not just, again, in the lottery where they were for a while.
Would you rather have Tobias over Isaac?
I think I'd rather have Isaac because he's 17 mil, non-guaranteed.
Tobias plays in a lot of games, get a lot of regular season help.
Yeah, no, that he is very durable. That's for sure. But I think the 40, that's too much. When you pay a guy that much, you need 40 million output, and just wasn't getting it from him.
All right, next.
But he's going to be free agent this year, so like I said, I'll be interested to see what his reduction in salary is.
All right, next game tonight we'll have, or tomorrow we'll have Cleveland at Boston. Boston wrapped things up with Miami. There's a couple questions on Jimmy Butler's future. I think they obviously like Bam. I didn't think Hero looked really good. I do still love the Heat culture of guys like Hawkes, and I thought Jovic was really good for them. But this is another team that has struggled. This is like the Lakers, like you just said. They've struggled crawling into the playoffs a year in and year again, and they've certainly lucked out and had a hell of a run during some nice matchups, I think, that were convenient for them. But what would you do with this team now? All right, I mean, Boston took care of them. Other than a fluky hot score in game two, dominated them every other game, completely smacked them. Now what? Like, because Boston's not even like the youngest team in the league anymore. There's teams that are younger and going to be what Boston is now that I don't know what Miami's supposed to be doing. Are they young? Are they old? I don't know what they are. I don't know what their future is, and I think they have too many guys that are in and out of the lineup regularly and in too much of a home run effort put into the playoffs where they don't even try in the regular season. Would you move on from Jimmy? Is it time?
Well, Jimmy's under contract for next year and then has a player option the following year. So he's going to be angling to try to get an extension. Pat Riley had his kind of end of year review and said, yeah, well, we're gonna work with Jimmy, but we gotta see him play. You know, he was hurt in the playoffs, he was hurt during the year. I can't imagine Pat Riley's thrilled with the goofy stuff that he does in the preseason. And then I was saying this, you can't just like turn it on in the playoffs. Every team thinks they can do it, and like maybe LeBron can do it, and we've seen a couple of examples, but most of the time this is what happens. Like, you're not healthy, and it wasn't a gentleman's sweep, but you know, you lose in five and then you're done, and you got to figure it out next year. Yeah, they did have Jimmy and Terry Rozier were hurt, but Jimmy's getting, you know, getting older. And just like the Bucks conversation is, I don't think you can expect him to be the spry guy that, you know, that he used to be. And the whole, we're just not going to care about the, you know, about the regular season. It's going to burn you the same way it's going to burn the Lakers if they don't get their act together and you're in the play-in game. Then you really leave it up to chance, and then you're not you're playing on the road more often than not. Even if you win the first round, you're still playing on the road, and that makes it harder. And so I don't think they're gonna move Jimmy Butler. Assuming that Jimmy's happy, because if he's not happy,
I think
he'll make sure everybody knows it.
I think we're at that point. I think Jimmy's not gonna be happy.
But what would he not be happy about? He's the one that was hurt, and he's made all sorts of comments now that the series is over that, oh, well, if he was healthy, he would have beat the Celtics, and oh, we'll just, you know, forget about it. And like the Knicks, they should be worried too. So he was just penciling himself in into the finals again.
I'm not about to speculate reasons for superstar athlete to suddenly be unhappy and ask for reasons for trade. All right, we've had guys ask for these trades that have baffled us way more than this ever will. He's already gotten his way out of a couple other places. I'm not sure if he'll say Miami's a sinking ship, and I mean, they always pull off these miracles of finding value of guys. I mean, look at all the free agents of last year. Every team that got any of the guys that were on Miami the previous four, we're super excited to have them going into this year. Max Strus, Gabe Vincent was supposed to be a big deal for the Lakers. Unfortunately, he was hurt most of the year. I don't know what you do with Jimmy, but I do think there's a ceiling that it's just so hard to reach that I don't know if he'll ever reach that again. And I'm happy for it, because I'm terrified.
It's gonna have to be. It's gonna have to be a trade, because that core is locked in. Jimmy, Bam, Tyler, Rozier, Duncan, Caleb Martin, Jaquez, like that whole core. Those guys are all under contract for next year, and a good chunk of them for the year after.
I kind of want this team to get younger. I like the young pieces they have. I don't know if there's much more to find out between Butler and Hero, but that's what I do. The big
thing
news...
it helps that they're going to, I mean, unless they make a crazy move, they're still going to have Spoelstra, and they still are going to have that development or scouting team or whatever it is to get these fringe guys in. And if you can get some more of those guys, and maybe they just didn't get that this year. And I don't know, they had Jaquez, and he wasn't a lottery pick, and
no,
you know,
a lot
he
of
was
teams
a rotation guy,
him.
But if you could get some of those diamonds in the rough, those lottery tickets that other teams just can't find or can't develop, I mean, if you're paying a guy, you know, like Hame, like $3 million for a rotation, then you can use the money elsewhere, and it really boosts your team. Taking advantage of the bargain.
It would be scary to suddenly see Miami just rebuilding a bunch of juggernauts out of nothing, but. The big news of this series was Porzingis is hurt again. And I'm not worried at all. It's not good news, but I just can't take Cleveland seriously. They struggled to score over 100 points so many times in the Orlando series. And sure, you could come at me with, oh, Cleveland's got good defense and Orlando's got good defense, but neither of those offenses are anything I'm trusting. I mean, Mitchell had to score like 60 points for this team to score 100. I think Boston's defense isn't maybe as good as Cleveland's or Orlando's, but I do think it's good enough to affect how weak their offense is, and their defense isn't good enough to slow down our offense. So I'm going Boston in four with or without Porzingis, which it sounds like he'll be out. We do get some decent rest over the last couple of days, extending this Cleveland-Orlando series out to seven, so I think that helps every little bit. But I'm not worried about this at all. I'm disappointed that Porzingis is hurt, but I don't think we need him against Cleveland. Am I being too naive? Am I going to come in here next week being like, Zach, why did I ever think this was possible? But that's how I feel. I feel good about this team, and I don't feel good about Cleveland.
We knew this right when we traded for Porzingis that he could really put us over the top, but there was also an injury concern. He played 57 games, so decent year, but probably not as much as you would like. But I agree with you that I don't think we need him to be able to win this Cleveland series. He is a luxury that we will definitely need later on, but for this series, I think we can take care of it. Cleveland was able to put it together yesterday, but I think, you know, despite the fact that one time we did play them and we were way up on them in the third quarter and then they came back, I think if we jump out to a 18-point lead on them in the first half, we're just going to bury them. We're going to absolutely bury them. They had trouble scoring against Orlando. Orlando is definitely a good defensive team, but I think that we are also a good defensive team. And I think that we are going to probably go the route of let Mitchell get his points, let him work really hard to get those points inefficiently, and force other guys to beat us, force the guys off the bench, like see what they got. But I won't go with the sweep. We're going to do something stupid. I don't know what it is. Like I'm oscillating between whether I want to go 5 or 6. It's just, we're going to come back next week and just, it's going to be like game 2 against the Heat of why did we do that? Like what? Like, just what were we thinking? So I'll be a little bit of a homer though. I'll say Boston in 5.
You don't think there's a scenario where we could maybe grow up and be mature adults that could just sweep these guys because we're significantly better than them and not fall into the trap? Like, this is one where prove to me that you're a team that we should take seriously. Let's take care of business here. I know we're going to win the series. Let's just make it 4. Let's not play around. Let's look dominant because the other teams over there are beating the hell out of each other. We can have a rest of some days off, which we're going to need with Porzingis out. I just think we don't need to overwork this. We don't need to do anything more. Mitchell's already hobbling on his knee. He's coming off 7 games, way, way too many more minutes than anyone else we got playing on our team. Let's just attack
Jared
him.
Allen's hurt.
Let's just go at him. This team's not ready for what we're bringing to town. Like, this, let's not take them lightly.
Would,
let's not play down
like
to
that.
Their level.
The on paper, that exactly makes sense. But I've seen this team play, and I just know we have these just games where you just leave scratching your head going, how did this happen? And it never seems – it's never from lack of talent or ability. It just always seems – you know, we came in and thought, well, I don't really want to get hurt. And, you know, I don't want to put, like, the full effort in. So let's just bomb away from 3, and it'll probably figure itself out. And then, you know, in the fourth, it's you look at the stats, like, all right, well, we take a lot of 3s. That's part of our game plan. But we didn't drive to the – we barely drove to the hoop at all. We, you know, we took 4 free throws. Like, that's not nearly enough. Like, we have to take it seriously. We have to take it from them.
It's there for the taking. That'll be tomorrow night. That'll be Tuesday. The other Tuesday game we're going to have Dallas at OKC. Dallas just finished off the Clippers in 6. What a mess LA is. This is another, are they too old? I don't know what to ask you about James Harden or Westbrook or Kawhi doesn't even play. Paul George is already being rumored to be anywhere else, which I'm not even sure he's enough to really boost another team. I can't pick apart his game. I think he has such a nice level of skill set at so many different assets. But there's just something weird in the playoffs where he disappears some games and then has like a heroic effort to like make up for a bad game at the end. And it's just not a playoff consistency that I'm happy with. You know, I mentioned like the Philly needs to add like that one proven playoff piece. And I just don't know if he's it. And the guys around him, I mean, Harden's not it. Westbrook's not it. And Kawhi's not even playing. I think he's getting a lot of blame for not being that guy. And I just don't know if he's ever going to be that guy either. And they just keep surrounding him with so many like has-beens at this point. And this is a sloppy Clippers team and an even sloppier loss and an even worse effort, to be honest with you. Dallas kind of rolled over on these guys and they just let it happen. And Kyrie's been playing out of his mind, but if you're the Clippers, is it time to really restart this? I mean, I know we got this new stadium coming and, you know, we want to have all these big posters and new whatever over there, but these just seem like the wrong players for all that, or at least it seems like we're celebrating like a team from 10 years ago. This is like a 2015 All-Star team, and it's just not going to get the job done against these other guys. End of an era for the Clippers?
I don't trust this team. I don't trust this team. I feel like the past few years, it's been, well, you don't want to see them when they're healthy in the playoffs, and they weren't exactly healthy, you know, in this playoffs, but I think between these guys, that's just not going to happen. These guys are older, and I am no longer going to get tricked into the, well, what if they all get healthy? Then what'll happen? I don't think it's the end of the era because, like you said, they're opening a new arena. Probably the smart thing to do would be, all right, we got to sell off pieces. We got to start getting picks. We got to, you know, bottom out to come back up. But you know when you don't want to do that? When you have a new arena and you are trying to make money and sell. So I think they're going to do whatever they can to get Paul George to be back. I think they're going to do whatever they can to get Harden back to make sure, hey, look it, we got stars. We got former MVPs. These are the names you know. Come to our arena, and we'll see. We'll see. Maybe the wall of death, maybe that'll change things. And all of a sudden, they'll have this college atmosphere, and all these opposing players will be shaking in their sneakers, not able to make their free throws, and they'll have an advantage. I don't know.
Look, I'm excited for the college energy. Let's just call it kind of what it is. It's a college environment. I just think none of these players are the ones that are going to be enhanced or enhancing those sort of energy vibes. I mean, look what Anthony Edwards is doing over in Minnesota. Imagine that with a little wall of death, right? Imagine some of the joy you're going to get out of that. The trash talking, the youth, the big plays. I mean, these guys are stars, but they're not going to be delivering those sort of performances. I just think it's time to go young. The rest of the league is. This just seems like such a dated way to make a basketball roster at this point. And I don't know what's going to change. I mean, they're running the same thing back while every other team is going younger, getting faster, and improving. This team's just getting older with a bunch of has-beens.
I just look at the look at the West. I think Memphis is going to be better next year. I think the Rockets are going to be better next year. You're gonna lose your spots. You know, I don't know if it'll be next year for the Spurs, but at some point they're gonna rocket themselves up, and you're gonna be in trouble. So I just think that they're in a unique situation where they have the new stadium, and there are different way there are different measures of success in the NBA, and some of it is money, and some of it is success in the playoffs. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But I think they're kind of stuck, and they need to sign these aging stars back to make sure that they can get fans in the seats.
I think I'd rather have the Lakers roster. And I don't think I would have said that earlier this year, but I think I've just seen this playoff result so many times, and I liked what the Lakers did in the playoffs. I know they got smacked, but I just didn't like anything what the Clippers did in the playoffs. I'm just so out on all of it. These guys aren't playoff guys. They might have been at one point, but they're just not gamers, man. They get punched in the face and they just give up. They roll over or they find a way to get injured and find a way out. I'm not accusing anyone of doing that, but I mean, who are the tough guys on this team? I mean, let's be real. Right? Like,
no one is jumping out.
Yeah,
PJ Tucker?
Sure.
I'll
even give you that. I'll give you he's a tough guy, but like,
he's
cool.
39 years old, though.
Yeah, 39 and a role player. It's like, all right, well, that's it. That's all we got. We don't have anyone else.
Yeah, and he was having issues with the team, so maybe that's what it was. So he's like, guys, I'm too old to be the enforcer. You guys need to do something.
The arena I'm really excited for. I wish this roster went hand-in-hand with that excitement a little bit better. All right, but enough about the old teams over there. Dallas is going to be at OKC, meaning Dallas took care of business. Or OKC swept New Orleans. Dallas took care of business against them. Big game. Big Kyrie series so far. Luka's been on and off. I think there's just these X factors within this Dallas roster that I don't know how you're going to overcome some of them. It doesn't make sense. On the flip side, I think OKC just is so steady and so consistent and has amazing depth of a whole bunch of different ways to kind of cut you up. But they don't have that X factor in Luka and Kyrie, I think. The end of the game stuff, the performance just pulled out of nowhere. Like, Kyrie's just... I feel like the other team knows what Kyrie and Luka want to do, and they're still doing it. It doesn't make sense. It's like, hey, don't let him do that. It's like, I don't know how else to stop him. He just finds ways to score. We trap him. We put him in uncomfortable positions. We switch on pick and rolls. We don't switch. We go into zones. It doesn't matter. They find ways to just get into the paint and get into the foul line and just destroy your team off of incredibly challenging shots. I'm hoping that OKC could maybe defend that a little bit better, but we'll see. I think the series is going seven. I think I'm going to go with OKC in seven just because I like the depth a little bit more. But that X factor thing is really got me questioning. And the zone that Kyrie's in, I haven't seen him do this since the Cleveland years. And it's a hell of a run. It's a hell of a fucking player, I'll tell you that. Who are you going with in this one? Dallas, OKC?
I'm going to go with OKC in six.
All right.
I agree. I agree with what you what you're saying, but Luka seems a little bit banged up, and I think against the Clippers, you put a little pressure on, and you're able to take care of him. But I think that OKC is just going to kind of keep coming in waves, and if he is not 100% healthy, that's going to become a problem, and it's going to force more work onto Kyrie. And you know, Kyrie isn't the biggest; he is also not necessarily the most durable, and I think that's going to create problems.
The workload he's been able to handle, even with the Luka struggle, has just been awesome, though. He's doing it so far. I don't know if he'll be able to continue to do it, but I didn't think we were going to see this sort of workload given to him and trusted with him ever again. It certainly makes you think, and in Boston, it's like, well, we've got that guy. You know, like, it's the happiest been in years. I'm still not ready to
forgive him. I don't
know
if the happiest. It's the quietest. I don't know if that is the same.
Is that not peace? That's peacefulness, happiness.
I don't know. I don't know. We're not hearing anything, so I don't know if he was happier when he was voicing his opinions, and now the basket, it looks happier, but if he's keeping this all bottled up or he doesn't have an outlet for it, and really he's not happy. I don't know. I don't have any insight there.
Well, I want more seven-game series, so I'm going for seven.
Ooh, that would definitely be fun.
Yeah, I want more game sevens, and sadly the Orlando Cleveland just didn't really hit the itch. You know, I'm sorry, but you know, neither of these teams to score over 100 points, just in comparison to like when I saw game one of Denver Minnesota, it's just not the same. Sorry, it's the talent just not there. So
there's a lot of young guys. You didn't have a lot of heavy hitters, and there's a reason before the series even started, I predicted and was absolutely right that this was the series that was going to be on NBA TV most of the time.
Yeah. All right. Anything else for NBA? Did we do it? We get through all of it?
I'm trying to think. Yeah. The Ishbia comment I thought was crazy, saying that 26 teams would trade spots with him. And if this was more summertime, or maybe we will do it in the summertime, of go individually each team and list off some of the assets and that they have and a yay or a nay and see what our individual numbers would be. But you know, that's for future. Did see Jason Kidd got an extension. Just I was kind of forget that he got hired in Dallas, but he's doing pretty well. Just he seemed to kind of have a disaster of a start with the Nets and then forced his way to the Bucks. And I mean, that might as well have been 50 years ago. It's really not incredibly long ago. And that's something else that's interesting is Knicks Pacers, Jalen Brunson going against his old coach in Rick Carlisle. So just a little wrinkle there. Just, you know, probably not really going to impact anything, but just a little fun.
A lot of knowledge both ways. See what kind of difference it makes. All right. This past Saturday, we also had an exciting a multi-sport day. We talked a little bit in the open about all this, but we did have a photo finish of the Kentucky Derby. I think this gets so hyped up. I always like try to make an effort to watch, and I never end up doing it. This was one where you asked me, and I was like, oh, I guess I got a second to turn it on. And it was like, it's over quick, too. So like it happens. But rarely does it happen with this great of an ending where you're actually leaving the initial race and being like, I don't know which one got it. Like it's going to be tight. So I enjoyed that. I don't know if I'm going to make much of an effort to always watch it every year, but that's exactly when I do watch it, what I want. I want something like that to happen. I didn't put any money down on it. Did you?
Didn't put any money down on it. It's always something that's fun to watch. I have to imagine that this is one of those things that they just get it closer and closer to prime time every year. If you had asked me ahead of time, hey, what time's the Kentucky Derby? I'd be like, I think it's like 4 o'clock. It's like later afternoon. So luckily, I don't know if Google just knows what I'm looking for, or if I was able to figure it out, like when I've asked, like, what time does the race start? And found out it was going to be 6:57. It's like, oh wow. So we are right up against this, NBA playoff game. Like there's no barely any wiggle room here. But obviously, it goes the whole festivities go on all day long, and so I was able to see most of the intros, and I enjoy it. It's I don't watch a lot of horse racing, but I think that the Kentucky Derby is just it's an American event. It's becoming more and more international with you know the different horses and the different owners. But it's only 2 minutes. I feel like it's almost more like the fights where you don't always know when it's going to start. So it's like I don't need the interviews and the history and everything else. I just want to watch the race. Let me know when the race starts. I'm going to tune in. I don't, you know, watch a little bit of the intros, watch a little bit of the, you know, the post afterwards. But yeah, I cannot remember another time, and I'm not watching a lot of racing, but you know, normally when you're watching something, it ends, you at least have like an inkling, like, okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was this. It was three wide and I had no idea. I had no idea who was the winner. So there was definitely a lot more drama than I was expecting.
Would you ever want to go to the event?
I've been to Saratoga, and I like horse racing, which actually I found out from my dad this week. They're redoing the Belmont racetrack. So the where that's in Long Island, they're going to be doing that at Saratoga this year. So that's one of the where you could potentially get the Triple Crown will be at Saratoga. So that was interesting. I did not know that, but I don't know if I'd want to do the Kentucky Derby just because it's not really close to me, and it just seems like you got to have money. Like if you don't have money, you can do it, but you're not able to do the full experience. So I think I'd prefer to do, you know, if I was going to do a horse race, do the Belmont, or just, you know, do Saratoga, where it's just the horse racing more than this event, where it just all the sporting events, it just gets easier and easier. Your view is not going to be better than you're able to watch on your HD television.
I do like the crowd energy of just attending Saratoga for even a small scenario kind of race, like not a Kentucky Derby sort of quality out there. But I watch it at home. It's just such a long day, and it's like I'm not partying along with you. I mean, I guess I could, but when you're there, I think the environment's a little bit more like you're just living in it, and that would probably be a little bit better than watching it at home. But going to the actual Kentucky Derby, it's so much. It's so far out of a scale that I'm interested in spending, and that I don't think I would really enjoy myself. But in person, Saratoga, I've definitely had a lot of good times there. We should probably look into doing something this summer with that. Wasn't the only close finish of the night. We also had Game 7 hockey because basketball wrapped up super early. Bruins Maple Leafs. I actually stayed up and watched this, and it was only to watch the Boston madness of another team that had a lead in a series after a kind of record-setting season last year, getting bounced in the first round. And then this year, I think they were up, what, 3-1, 2-1, and whatever the lead was, and they end up going 7. 2-1. They are up 3-1, they end up going 7, and there's just like this Boston disheartened feeling, like throughout it. I could feel like the gut just like turning, and nothing feels right, and it just seems like, here we go again. It's basically a 0-0 game for the entire game. Finally, we see a couple flash goals at the end. We go into overtime. And wouldn't you know it, Boston comes out and just ends this right off the get-go. They didn't keep us up all night. I was so grateful for it. But I'll be keeping an eye on this. I know we're not huge hockey people, but I have been watching a lot more. The playoff hockey, anything can happen. And that's what's frustrating, I think, if you're a Bruins fan, but exciting if you're, I guess, any other fan. I don't know. You got any hockey stuff? I feel like we don't really touch any of this.
Well, the Bruins, you know, were top seed last year and then lost. And so then this year, it just seemed like headed towards the same situation. I definitely watch more playoff hockey than regular season hockey, which isn't saying much, but especially when it gets down to the finals, and usually it's alternating every other night. You know, don't want to get too far ahead of anything, but there is a chance that it could be Celtics-Knicks in basketball and Rangers Bruins in hockey. And boy, would that just be at another level. Boston versus New York, multiple sports, like you're playing at the same arenas and alternating, you know, different nights. I don't know if the Northeast could handle it, but it is a possible outcome.
I don't know if I've mentioned this in the podcast before, but one of the favorite things I love about hockey is the last desperation at the end where the team down will just pull the goalie. And like one of two things will happen. You've got an extra guy. You don't have a goalie, so there's a vulnerability of all that. But like, you're either gonna try to score and have a miraculous comeback, or you're gonna see guys like shoot the puck from super far away, which I think is also really fun because there's no goalie over there. So I like that element. It like keeps me entertained at the end of the game, even though it's kind of been a blowout for the whole time. I don't know what the basketball equivalent would it be, but I kind of like there's a chance that like something miraculous might happen just in this last little bit, and there's not really that chance of a comeback in the NBA quite as quickly, and I just like it. I like it. Anything else for hockey? Otherwise, I got the Tom Brady roast written on here. You didn't watch it. I'm 2 hours into the 3-hour segment that it is, with no commercials. It's Netflix, so it's straight entertainment. We're just got
3 hours of content.
3 hours of the next guy up, and they have a bunch of killers up there, and it's full raw because it's Netflix. There's nothing holding it back. There's no cable rules or anything. It's just we're going all out on this one, and I haven't seen a roast with this sort of talent in a while. I don't know if people want to be roasted as well, and I think you could certainly question that. I have no idea what Brady had to gain out of all this, but from everything I've seen so far, it was awesome. It was great. It was really fun to see a lot of ex-Patriots get together, a lot of guys that have a bit of a sour relationship currently at the moment get in the same room, and just everybody get roasted. Everybody got roasted. I got a kick out of it. I don't know if you can repeat this sort of roast or this power play of athlete that kind of crosses over to so many different things, but I think this was a huge success, and I very much enjoyed it as a Patriot fan. I still have 1 hour left. I didn't think this content could be this entertaining. You still had no interest in it, right? I didn't sell you on it at all.
Not really. Roasts aren't for me. A bunch of people being mean to each other in a room, even though it's like comedy. It's never appealed to me at all, especially Tom Brady. It's like I want to see people making fun of him. It just that doesn't seem very, very enjoyable. I get the whole idea. I get it's like not real. It's jokes. But it's like Tom Brady has made my life better for sure. He's won a lot of games. He has given me a lot of happiness. And it's someone that that didn't watch. Do you have just like a quick? I know you're only 2 hours in, but who is who was the best roaster and who was the worst?
Well, you get a variety of the professional roasters were all excellent. I mean, Nikki Glaser was awesome. I mean, Jeff Ross was there. He kicked off. Jeff Ross came out dressed in an OJ uniform with a whole bunch of devils across him. He said he'd come from hell, and OJ says hi. As well as Aaron Hernandez says hello. It's just, we're off the gates. Like, this is the first guy up. We're taking off on all this. The players and the athletes as well, though, were funny because you talked about a little bit more personal hits. You're going to get a little bit more stuff from them. I mean, Randy Moss goes up there and is asking everybody, like, all right, so we had a cheating scandal before I was there and a cheating scandal after I was there. You guys won 6 Super Bowls. I wasn't a part of any of them. Why the hell didn't we cheat? We're over there. And then he just starts questioning everyone else's ring, being like, you got so many, you want to give up one of them? Or at least can we get one of the guys that deflated your balls to give me one of them? Like, can we give that's the stuff was fun hearing from the players and sort of their little problems and their little quirks within the different areas. Because, he played forever at this point. Like, there's a lot of different guys up on stage.
A lot of dudes.
And, we got Bob Kraft there and Belichick's there. Belichick was fantastic. He's been doing these press conference skits for, so long now that it's kind of fun to watch him almost do it on purpose up there. And he definitely had some killer jokes. Really, everyone's really good. I don't think anyone was terrible other than Kim Kardashian went up to do a toast for everyone and just got completely booed through the whole thing. I'm not sure if she was supposed to tell jokes or if the jokes she had just weren't to anyone's liking, or if there was really anything she could have done, because it just seemed like the second they showed her, nobody had any interest at all. And it's like,
she seems kind of out of place compared to the other people you mentioned. I mean, besides she's just famous for being famous, I don't see how she exactly fits in with like all the other people that you mentioned.
Well, why? I don't understand what she thought she had to gain from this either, because when you do roast people, or the second you get on stage, you become fair game for everyone else. So, like, she came up and was like, didn't really go at anyone, and then the immediate crowd reaction was like, we don't care. We were just not interested.
Yeah, because they're there to hear jokes and to hear people get roasted. That's the whole thing.
Overall, though, I would check it out. I really would recommend it. I know a lot of the comedians on there are just Netflix special guys, and it's a good group. It's a really good group. I was really satisfied with it. I would tell you if, like, yeah, you could probably fast forward or skip over this section, but so far everything I've seen has actually been just like one after another. Like, if anything, I would just say pace yourself through it. You don't need to make it through the whole 3 hours. I didn't catch it live. This was a Netflix live event, which they've been doing a lot more of that. I kind of like the live things. I haven't exactly made the effort to watch it, but everybody's on such like a different timeline at this point that nobody's watching anything other than sports at the same time, that I kind of like universally watching something together, and it's all kind of being discovered, but I didn't make the effort to do it.
It was definitely on X. Like, I knew when it was on because I saw people, you know, commenting on it and quoting the roasts. So it definitely had that appeal of, if you really wanted to be on it, like, you had to watch it right then, or stuff would get, you know, quote, spoiled.
Yeah, well, it happened. I'm not sure the next athlete's going to do it. I'm not sure the next person that's going to want to do this. I mean, the line of people that were just excited to bash on Brady to begin with. Oh, Bledsoe was there? Bledsoe was brutal. He came out swinging just on everybody, and they came back at him, though, because he's just, I don't know who thought of it all, but I thought it was a really good group of guys. I thought it was a fun event. It looked like everyone else was having fun, and I had fun watching. So that's the one thing. I know you said it's a bunch of guys being mean, and past roasts, I think, for sure have that. And there are definitely some like, if someone said this to you, you might not ever talk to them again, elements to this. But everyone signed up for it, and I think everybody got what they wanted out of it, including me. But did you ever watch any of the other roasts? Like I think the Justin Bieber one years ago is the only one that, like, really.
I remember the Comedy Central roast that used to be on late night. I definitely caught some of those in college. That's where I just knew it's just like the comedy just isn't for me. Where you're just like, I get it. It's a joke. It's not real. You know, everybody signed up for it, but it's just over and over again, just like belittling you, and just every little flaw that you have is just exposed, and just, it does not seem fun to me at all, not even a little bit, both on either side. I don't want to be the main person. I don't want to just put myself in that arena.
I thought everyone really came prepared, even the people that aren't professional roasters. Like, they really, like, Randy, Gronk, Edelman, they really put the effort in. Belichick, I was just impressed how well it goes, because I think a lot of the times they just invite these famous people, and they're like, oh, I'm famous, I know how to do this, and like, they get up there, and it's like, it's not that easy. Like, it's some people struggle with the teleprompter, they struggle with the timing, the crowd can be longer on certain times, and you got to know how to pause. I thought it was a real clean event for being live. Kevin Hart was really good. He's certainly not always my favorite comedian, but I thought he did a really good job from what I saw. But that's all we got for us today. Just want to remind everyone to subscribe. A little of column A, a little of column B. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. You can follow Zach on his X account, which is
WickedZman24.
We'll be back next week, hopefully with a couple Celtics wins and some really good basketball games. I don't know if we're going to get quite the hockey performance out of us again, but you know, you never know. Maybe it'll be WNBA. More horse racing. I don't know. We'll get something. You're always going to get something from a little column A, a little column B. Anything else for the people out there?
Go C's.
We'll be back.
Little column A, little column B.